WML News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. ICE is scheduled to start raids to round up and deport illegal immigrants tomorrow. Vice President Mike Pence offers some details.
The priority is going to be on individuals who've committed crimes in this country, people who members of MS-13, and people who've engaged in violent acts in this country in many cases. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will be moving against those individuals and deporting them under the law.
Some police departments in our area say if there are ICE raids in their jurisdictions, they won't be helping ICE. Prince George's County Police Chief Hank Stawinski.
This is the most progressive and effective policing institution in the nation. Our practice has been not to enforce civil immigration policy. This policy clarifies that.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser says D.C. police focus on local laws, not immigration policies. The city's Attorney General Carl Racine tweets, quote, threats of immigration raids this weekend are a shameful way to stoke fear and do not make our community safer. I will continue to work to make sure all D.C. residents are protected regardless of immigration status, unquote. Louisiana is bracing for Tropical Storm Barry to make landfall today as a Category 1 hurricane. St. Bernard Parish President Guy McInnes says he's worried about potential rains.
We have been blessed with not getting the brunt of this storm right now, but we're still looking at the weather bands coming through. It was kind of contentious here the last few days with worrying about the overtopping of the Mississippi River levee. So now that those cones and those prayers are answered, We're making sure that we don't get a deluge of rain, which could be devastating to our parish.
A hurricane warning's in effect along a part of the Louisiana coast. Areas farther inland, like the lower Mississippi Valley, are under tropical storm warnings. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's testimony to Congress is postponed a week to give lawmakers more time to question him. Mueller had been scheduled to testify July 17th about the findings of his Russia investigation, but lawmakers in both parties complained the short length of the hearings would not allow enough time for all members to ask questions. That testimony is now set for July 24th. Mueller will testify for an extended period of time with the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. Montgomery County's latest effort to reduce pedestrian deaths puts a weapon right in the hands of pedestrians.
Not only can a pedestrian hit a button to activate the signal turns red right in the middle of the block.
County spokesman Neil Greenberger says the first one's now working in Aspen Hill.
It's been a big success, and traffic, people don't use their judgment. They have to stop. It flashes as needed, and then it goes back to a normal crossing area.
Greenberger says pedestrians have a role to play as well, to take off their headphones and look up from their phones when they walk. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
The FTC slapping Facebook with a $5 billion fine over privacy violations. The Wall Street Journal reports the FTC cast a 3-2 vote with Republicans in support and Democrats in opposition. The fine would be the largest the FTC has levied on a tech company. In sports, Serena Williams will try for her 8th Wimbledon championship title today as she takes on Romania's Simona Halep at 9. The Nats beat the Phillies 4-0. The O's fell to the Rays 16-4. Up next, traffic and weather.
Brew at the Zoo is back, and this year it's a prehistoric party. Join WMAL Thursday, July 18th at the Smithsonian's National Zoo for unlimited tastings from nearly 70 breweries, live music, lawn games, and dinosaurs stomping around the park. Enter to win tickets, plus purchase discounted tickets. A special deal for WMAL listeners at WMAL.com/contests. Brew at the Zoo, Thursday, July 18th at the Smithsonian's National Zoo. Learn more, WMAL.com/contests.
Non-attorney spokesperson. And sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-719-6029 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-719-6029 now. Again, 800-719-6029. That's 800-719-6029.
It's 7:05 WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
So far, traffic moving well in Virginia, traveling on 95 headed from Woodbridge into Springfield. 395 HOV lanes closed for weekend road work between Etzel Road and the 14th Street Bridge. So far, so good on 66 from Centerville to the Beltway, and the Beltway in Maryland moving without incident and no delays to report. Looks like the earlier work zone on 270 near 121 and Father Hurley Boulevard all cleared away, and looks like the delays have eased in that area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, sunny, a high in the low 90s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 74. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 91. Right now, 69 degrees in Chantilly, 67 in Greenbelt, and 73 degrees here in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I was the tomato walking on two sticks. That's what they nicknamed me.
I get it. Walking into a weight loss clinic can be a lesson in humility. But not if you know that inside are non-judgmental, empathetic, professional EMP 180 client coaches focused on your goals.
My name is Chuck Cohen. I live in Gainesville, Virginia. Emailed EMP 180. That was on a Monday. And on Tuesday, I had my first appointment. The first weigh-in was a big deal for me. When you lose 8 pounds on that first weigh-in, I couldn't even believe it. Alisa was my mentor. I was a guy who needed a cheerleader. That's good motivation for me. I weighed 180 pounds. I'm down on my scale to 157. EMP made me feel good about looking forward to the summer and going to the beach and taking my shirt off. I'm pretty excited about that.
Set your first consult at EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Financing's available. So are first responder, military, and teacher discounts. EMP 180 weight loss. Use it to lose it for life.
Say, are you a single person on the dating scene? Well, join the club, man. Plenty of people out there are single and loving it. But what if you don't wish to remain single? Don't worry. Love will surely find you. It might happen at, oh, let's just say, a baseball game. There you are in the stands, having a beer and a frankfurter and rooting for your home team. Suddenly, a gorgeous person of the opposite sex approaches you and asks if you're in her seat. You compare tickets, and somehow you've both been issued the same one. Management feels terrible and immediately moves you together to a private box. There you fall madly in love, and your team wins the World Series, and you catch the winning home run on your wedding day. Or you could call the dating experts at It's Just Lunch. Your It's Just Lunch matchmaker will personally set you up on some real dates for some real fun, real fast. So stop dreaming and start dating. It's Just Lunch, the smarter way to date.
Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. Great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us to kick off the 7 o'clock hour each week. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rick. And what a week it was.
Secretary of Labor Alex Acosta held a lengthy news conference on Wednesday to explain his decisions made in the 2007 Jeffrey Epstein case in Florida. He made a strong case to keep his job as the Secretary of Labor, but everything changed on Friday. He tenures his resignation and meets reporters on the White House lawn. It was sort of unprecedented to see an outgoing cabinet secretary again speaking with reporters with the president by his side.
Absolutely. It was a swan song that may not be a top 10 hit, but people are going to be humming it for a while, especially reporters. Once Secretary Acosta appeared with the president on Friday morning, we knew he was out. Only 3 days after the news conference you mentioned, he said he'd turn in his resignation to the president, and it was his idea, not the president who stood by him. Look, 24 hours before Mr. Acosta met the press, this reporter was getting sources saying he was on the way out. And it has very little to do with the case of Jeffrey Epstein, the alleged child pornographer, and possible child molester. Frankly, there were a lot of people in the White House beneath the president who were not pleased with Secretary Acosta's performance. Specifically, they said that he had not pursued upending the deregulatory agenda of the Trump administration, and many regulations that favored labor over business were still on the books. One source told me that it seemed as though public sector employee unions had their lawyers on the job in the Labor Department, and it was though it was, and I quote, the 11th year of the Obama administration, end of quote. So when the Epstein case surfaced and the role then U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta took in it, it was not as though that was the only charge against the embattled Secretary of Labor. There was a lot more, and I submit to you, were it just the Jeffrey Epstein case alone, he might have been able to tough it out. As it was, he left 24 hours ago, with the president saying he accepted his resignation with regret.
The Labor Department has a key relationship to the U.S. economy. Tell us about the replacement for Alex Acosta, the president announcing Friday.
Yes, and Patrick Pezzella becomes the fourth cabinet member with acting status. The president announced him as acting Secretary of Labor and said he was recommended by Alex Acosta. Patrick Pezzella is someone who has been in public service for under five presidents, four Republicans and Democrat Bill Clinton. He worked in the Reagan administration in three different departments. He was one of the few Reaganites who went over to George H.W. Bush's administration as the administrative officer at the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. This was the government body that oversaw the revival of the savings and loan crisis, and it was Mr. Pezzella's job to see that money got into housing. Needless to say, he was recommended for the job by Jack Kemp. President Clinton kept him on in that capacity for 2 years, and then under George W. Bush, he was Assistant Secretary for Labor under management, one of the closest associates of then-Secretary Elaine Chao. One interesting point, despite the gilt-edged credentials of Acting Secretary Pezzella, and the fact he's been through background checks and confirmation hearings for a good part of his life, Democrats are probably going to wage a fight. When President Bush named him to the Labor Department, he was confirmed without even a hearing. When President Trump named him number two in the Labor Department, it took 10 months to get a vote, and he was confirmed along party lines. My guess, he'll probably be acting secretary, but as the president says, I like acting.
The president has been very firm on the enforcement of immigration laws, and he had the census question that he was trying to get, the citizenship question on the census, and of course we have ICE enforcement raids to start this weekend. Tell us a little bit about his change in strategy on the citizenship question on the census.
Well, the president and Attorney General William Barr looked very carefully at the issue of putting citizenship question back into the census for 2021. The problem with that is that the Supreme Court said lower court rulings will apply on this, and it's got to be fought out and worked out at the lower court level. Swell. Except this would take so long, and the litigation would continue, that it would not be done in time for the printing of the census forms. In addition, were the president to issue an executive order requiring the citizenship clause, that too would come under litigational fire, and again, it could continue, and with stays in court and all of the legal stalling, the question might not be in the next census forms in time for their printing. Okay, the president did the next best thing. He knew when to hold them, knew when to fold them, and in this case, he ran with an executive order requiring government departments to turn over all information regarding illegal aliens and who's a citizen and who isn't. Now, so far, the administration has not said what agencies this information is coming from. I have a pretty good idea. It will focus on the Department of Homeland Security. Local and state law enforcement officials will be brought in, and some are going to refuse as matters of conscience to cooperate. But so far, the president has done what he considers the next best thing, and there seems to be agreement among his supporters. This was the only way.
1992 presidential candidate Ross Perot passed away this week. Many have said his entry into the race cost George H.W. Bush the election against Bill Clinton. What's your opinion?
Well, it's moonshine, pure and simple. If I can use a phrase that former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder used to use about controversy in his own career, why are they still chewing on that old rug? Look, Ross Perot got in the race for president as an independent. He caught a lot of people's imaginations. A two-fisted billionaire, a patriot, military-minded, and someone who spoke his mind. He also talked about trade and how he wanted a hard line on trade to keep all those jobs from being sucked up to Mexico. That worked for a while, and then he decided to pull out of the race, charging a bizarre conspiracy to embarrass his daughter at her planned wedding. For the longest time, Bill Clinton led in the polls. He got in, and Bill Clinton's lead dipped. This was on October 1st when he said, "I'm back in the race." In the end, he got 18% of the vote, and the most popular votes of any third-party candidate since Teddy Roosevelt in 1912. Now, what people don't mention, but what Ed Rollins, who was briefly Perot's campaign manager, did, and he's done a lot of study on it, 4 million people who voted for Republicans Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush in three straight elections abandoned Bush in 1992. Economic conservatives didn't like him raising taxes. Libertarian conservatives did not like the increased regulation. And national security conservatives did not like him cutting the defense budget to the lowest part of GDP since Pearl Harbor. 4 million votes saw in Governor Clinton a centrist who abjured the term liberal and said he was a new kind of Democrat. They saw him as a very acceptable alternative. Overall, there's a lot of people who wouldn't vote for George H.W. Bush. I see no evidence that they went to Ross Perot, and his votes would have been split evenly between Bush and Clinton, giving Clinton a majority. Don't chew on that old rug. The evidence isn't there.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. John, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And it should also be remembered, Ross Perot, whatever you thought of his politics and his campaigns, was a patriot who ordered the rescue of his two employees and got them out of an Iranian jail. When you work for Ross, the boss, he stood by you. And that's something we should think about warmly as we mourn his passing.
Thank you, John. It's 7:18, Saturday morning update on WMAL. We will head next to Clayton Neville. He is live in New Orleans. But first, a check of the traffic and weather for Washington. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, you will find some slowing traffic on 295 northbound from Chesapeake Street headed towards the Suitland Parkway approaching that long-term work zone. And also keep in mind that the speed limits are reduced to 40 miles an hour on 295 between the Naval Research Lab and the 11th Street Bridge through the construction zone. Elsewhere, looks like traffic is moving well on the Beltway, and so far no reported problems on 95 from Dale City heading into Springfield, 395. So far the pace is good from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge. HOV lanes, though, are closed for maintenance this weekend. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks partly cloudy today, a high of 92. Sunshine tomorrow, high 93. Sunny on Monday with a high of 89. For Tuesday, partly cloudy up to 92. Some thunderstorms possible after 94-degree highs on Wednesday. Right now in Washington, we're at 70 degrees, and we're headed up to 92 this afternoon. 7:20 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, if you thought we had a lot of rain the last couple of days in the Washington area, let's head to New Orleans. Our Clayton Neville is there this morning. Clayton, it is great to have you with us.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we are just bracing ourselves for what should be a couple days of very heavy rainfall.
Tropical Storm Barry is approaching the coast. Now, tell us about the conditions, because we've had reports of power outages this morning.
Yeah, I think at this point we're dealing with about 50,000 power outages. As an example, I went to bed with power, woke up without it, but no big surprise here as the storm is starting to approach the coast. The story, though, hasn't been the winds. It's been more the rain, but then the irony comes in today where the wind actually knocks some power out. But still, forecasters believe the main threat here is the torrential rains that will fall anywhere really from Grand Isle over to Morgan City, where this thing's expected to make landfall, back up to New Orleans. Initial thoughts of maybe 20 inches of rain in some spots that may have moved a little bit west of New Orleans at this point, but the threat still here is of flooding. Some good news last night, the Mississippi River, which is now at about 16.9 feet, expected to crest here around 17 feet, a little bit lower than what it was supposed to be, which they thought would be around 19. The levees are so still, they're pushing it real close to the height of the levees here in New Orleans.
And give us a real quick sort of description of the levees. We hear about the levees and the floodgates. Kind of how does it lay out in New Orleans?
You know, it's interesting. First of all, it's kind of a dangerous combination because New Orleans is like a bowl and it's surrounded by water. You know, you've got the Gulf of Mexico, of course, miles away, and then you have the Lake Pontchartrain right in the middle of the city, then the Mississippi River as well. The big lake and the Mississippi River are only about 6 miles apart. So this place is surrounded by water, and it's lower, of course, than sea level. So a lot of dangers there. Now, as far as the floodgates are concerned, yesterday was the first time in history that every single floodgate surrounding the Mississippi River and Lake Pontchartrain have been all closed in the greater New Orleans area. I was there yesterday when the gates closed, and it actually made a lot of people in that general area feel pretty safe. These are massive, thick walls. They're floodgates that stand about 20 feet high, and they are meant to protect the city from the water.
Now, there were problems with those floodgates in Katrina, and what are some of the lessons that were learned in Hurricane Katrina that you see them applying in the preparations this time around?
Well, first of all, the overall lesson was this: you need to be prepared. I've spoken with a lot of people who were around back in Katrina, including city officials and state officials, who say they just weren't ready for it. They were caught off guard, not necessarily meaning that they were surprised by the storm. They just weren't ready for the impacts. And so that does have to do with the levees. The levees completely broke down. So since then, in the last 14 years, the Army Corps of Engineers has basically redone the entire integrity of that system. Now they have full faith and full confidence. Every time you speak with an official or somebody with the state this week in New Orleans, they're telling you they have full confidence in these levees. There's a chance that water could overtop them. Doesn't really look like that might happen now, but they say there's no way that the water is actually going to knock these levees down or cause them to fail. So some good news there. I would say the big difference here is the preparation. There are sandbags out. There are people that are getting the word out about Red Cross, about where to go, about shelters. So much more prepared this time around than they were 14 years ago.
Well, you've been talking to the citizens there. What's sort of the range of mood that you've sensed from these folks?
Huge difference between the locals and the tourists, obviously. I spoke with a couple locals yesterday who were not concerned about it whatsoever. You know, I was standing at Lake Pontchartrain yesterday where there was storm surge coming up pretty high. I mean, it was nailing me just standing there in the knees. So it was hitting me at the knees about 3 feet high. And then as that was happening, I saw two or three kids just riding their bikes right through it. A couple kids throwing the frisbee. So, you know, they say this is normal. They're not concerned about it whatsoever. They have faith in the levee system. And that's also a big difference between now and Katrina as well. People know what the city has been doing and they feel comfortable about it. So a little bit of a relaxed attitude from the locals. But then you go to the airport yesterday and you can barely move because of the number of people trying to get out of here. So the locals are used to it. They are prepared, though. They've got their food all set. Most of the grocery stores are wiped out. They've got their generators up and going, and now they'll just ride it out.
When we hear the term hurricane, we think the worst. When we hear tropical storm, it's, well, not as bad as a hurricane. How does that play out in this case?
In this case, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's thought that Barry will be a hurricane here in just a couple of hours when it makes landfall. Really what that means is it'll have winds that allow it to be classified as a Category 1 hurricane, which means probably upwards of 74, maybe closer to 80-mile-per-hour winds. But with the tropical storm, it still brings heavy, heavy rainfall. The main concern here is the rain. It is a rain event. So whether or not it gets up to that category, you're still going to get up to 20 inches of rain in some spots, tropical storm or hurricane. So a lot of forecasters are saying, don't worry about that too much. Basically meaning, if you hear it's a tropical storm and not a hurricane, don't let your guard down because it's still going to be the same result with the rain.
Our Clayton Neville live in New Orleans this morning. Stay safe, Clayton, and thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. 726, Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected, and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 25 megabit internet for $39.95 per month for 2 years when you add one voice mobility line. Plus, get free installation. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 8/4/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
What's the best way to grow your money? While you're sleeping. It's called your investment income. Need good fiduciary advice? Go to GrahamCapitalWealth.com. Ah, summertime in the district. The best time of the year to get downtown and enjoy the city. Don't let parking stop you from getting to the best summer events DC has to offer. Use Spot Hero and book your spot in advance wherever you're headed. Just download the Spot Hero app, type in your destination, and reserve. You can even use Spot Hero to park at the airport or search for monthly parking options near your work or home. Plus, you'll get a great deal. Get $10 off your first park with promo code DISTRICT. That's promo code DISTRICT. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
Do you wish that double chin would just disappear? Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and I've got a news flash for you. People look at your jawline. It simply tells your age. Robin from Lubbock, Texas writes in and says, I put Genucel jawline cream on my neck 2 or 3 days ago. This is the best my neck has looked in 20 years. People tell me my face looks young. I'm blown away. Using MDL technology and Chamonix's proprietary base, Genucel's brand new jawline treatment specifically targets the delicate skin around the neck and jaw for tight, healthy, younger-looking skin. See results right before your eyes or 100% of your money back, no questions asked. Call now and the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness is free with your order. And to start seeing results in 12 hours or less, Genucel Immediate Effects is also yours free. No double chin, no turkey neck, and no sagging jawline because no one needs to know your age. 800-525-2720 or Genucel.com. Get your 2 free gifts and free express shipping. Call 800-525-2720 or go to Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com.
My name is Conrad Chen. I do imaging informatics and cybersecurity. And I tell everybody I'm a University of Maryland University College graduate. Professors at UMUC are very knowledgeable. They work in the industry. Because I got a degree from UMUC, I got promotions that helped me move up in the world and earn more for my family.
Earn your degree online from a respected state university, designated by the NSA and DHS as a center of academic excellence in information assurance. Unlock your potential at University of Maryland University College, made for you. Find out what a valuable investment a UMUC degree can be. Ask our advisors about a variety of scholarship and financing options for those who qualify. And save even more with no-cost digital resources for most courses. Get started at the university made for you. Visit umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Coming up on the 7:30 news on WMAL, we'll be back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and we'll be talking with KT McFarland. Stay with us on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. Louisiana is already soaked after record-setting rain, and now Tropical Storm Barry's creeping toward the state. And the heavy rain it's bringing is a big concern, according to Michael Teal of the St. Tammany Parish Fire Protection.
As these rain bands come on shore, you know, our areas are susceptible to a great deal of flood potential if we get some of those higher rainfall amounts in a short period of time.
Barry's expected to be a Category 1 hurricane when it makes landfall. More than 30,000 people in Louisiana already lost power. Vice President Mike Pence says convicted criminals will be the target of ICE raids set to start tomorrow.
The upcoming efforts are going to focus exclusively on individuals who have been fully adjudicated and ordered by a judge to be deported.
As illegal immigrants across the country, wait in fear, local leaders in our region are reiterating their support for those who live in their jurisdictions. County executives in Montgomery and Howard counties, along with D.C.'s mayor, say illegal immigrants are valued members of their communities, and local police will not help ICE should the agency come to their areas. In sports, Serena Williams will try for her eighth Wimbledon championship title today as she takes on Romania's Simona Halep at 9 o'clock. The Nats beat the Phillies 4-0 Game 2 in that series tonight. The O's fell to the Rays 16-4. The O's and Rays play a doubleheader today. Game times 1:05 and 7:05. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Lewis Carroll's Cheshire Cat said, "If you don't know where you're going, then any road will do." Will any road take you to the future you want for yourself and your family? Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show, heard Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. The Wise Investor Group can help put you on the right road to a successful financial future. Give us a call. We think we can help.
To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Have you heard the commercials that yell, "We have the buyers"? Well, that's good for them, but not good for you if you're selling your home. I'm Eric Stewart with the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster, and I have over 31 years of real estate experience and knowledge. Buyer agents represent buyers. When you're selling your home, you want the listing team that sells your home fast and for top dollar to represent you. Google the Eric Stewart Group right now or call 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. What do you dream about? Maybe it's winning the lottery or getting a new car. Well, for the 22 million Americans with obstructive sleep apnea, it's probably getting quiet, restful sleep. Now, if this is you or your bed partner, you know how disruptive and debilitating sleep apnea can be, especially when it's not being treated properly with CPAP. If CPAP doesn't work for you, it's time to look at the comfortable solution that doesn't require a mask or a hose. Inspire. Inspire is a sleep apnea treatment that works inside the body, with one click of a remote. During sleep, Inspire delivers mild stimulation to keep you breathing normally and sleeping peacefully. No mask, no hose, just sleep. Learn more about Inspire, review important safety information, and get the sleep you've been dreaming of at InspireSleep.com. That's InspireSleep.com.
WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, you will find some slowing traffic right now on 95 southbound between Garris and Villa Quia headed towards Courthouse Road. No delays so far on 395 from Essel Road to the 14th Street Bridge, but keep in mind the HOV lanes of 395 closed for maintenance this weekend. Also keep in mind that in McLean, Swings Mill Road is closed in each direction between the Georgetown Pike and Old Dominion Drive due to emergency repairs from storm damage. Now from Garage StoryFair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, sunny with a high in the low 90s. Right now, 74 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Forget uncomfortable dentures, messy adhesives, and multiple trips to a prosthodontist. You can get straight, natural-looking teeth in one day. That's right. Dental implants done fast. The highly trained, board-certified surgeons at Nova OMS have the expertise to create a beautiful-looking smile in just one visit. Doctors Namy, Yagmai, and Associates are renowned for their surgical work and are committed to making your dental makeover as pleasant as possible. If you've been wanting a smile that looks and feels good, schedule a consultation with Nova OMS today. Unlike many oral surgeons, they accept most insurance. Plus, they have three convenient locations in Northern Virginia, Burke, Reston, and Alexandria. Call 703-719-4133 or visit NovaOMS.com. Honestly, you'll love your new smile after getting your teeth in one day, including the pampering experience from Nova OMS. Call and learn how you can get dental implants done fast. Act now. You'll be glad you did. 703-719-4133 or visit NovaOMS.com.
7:35. Thank you for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president at the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Rick, always great to be on. Thanks for having me.
You've penned an opinion piece at Town Hall, headline on it, Risky Steps at the DMZ for Large Steps to Change the Course of History. Now, among your accomplishments, you're a CIA-trained intel operative, former operative at this point, but you were trained by the CIA. I would expect maybe you, from a military standpoint, and also having been at the DMZ multiple times during your military career, I would think maybe you would be a little more hardline, maybe a little more conservative when watching the president take that step into North Korea.
I completely understand why his advisors advised against it, because this is not a place you go for a photo op. I mean, as I stipulate in the article, you still have two armies standing toe-to-toe. There have been a number of provocations over the period since 1953, since the armistice was signed. And remember, this is an armistice. The war is not over. So the idea that President Trump would simply show up for a photo op in probably one of the top three most dangerous places on the planet is just not something anybody would do. I call it cutting-edge diplomacy. And this is the front lines, both, you know, figuratively and literally. So I completely agree with his doing something, taking a different path. And I admire his bravery for overruling those who told him not to do it. I still believe that you've got to do things like this, put yourself in physical danger to get things done. So I do admire the president. I don't think people really fully understand how dangerous it was and why he did it. But I don't believe he did it with any lack of understanding of how dangerous it was. But he felt he personally had to do it, did do it, to reopen that door. So we'll see where it goes.
You know, you can sense that atmosphere, and you talk about danger. You can just sense
it
when you look at the faces of our staff people. Now, you really can't tell who's Secret Service and may who, you know, maybe White House staff members there, but you can definitely see it on their faces. This was not your typically well-orchestrated, planned out every step, every move, every second event.
No, and again, I don't think people understand that this was a bold move. It was done for the right reasons. And look, people don't go out there, put their lives on the line, literally, for a photo op. I'd like to believe now this will, like a number of other events in history where, you know, Nixon had to go to China. There was a rapprochement with the Russians with Reagan. Reagan did a number of bold things during the time he was president. I'd like to believe this was done for the purposes of obtaining the same positive results.
Did we lose anything? I mean, some people are saying, well, it gives Kim Jong-un more credibility, but, you know, what do we really lose there, if anything?
No, there's no loss. I mean, look, he's been, this is what the North Koreans have desired for decades, is the idea of having direct negotiations with us. And as we see, the three-party negotiations have done so well to prevent their nuclear program. So one of the definitions of insanity, Rick, is obviously doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is insane. So clearly we've attempted in some ways to stop that insanity of trying to do the same thing. So Was there any loss? No. I think this was actually probably caused more damage to Kim, if there was any political damage, because people questioned why the president showed up there more than anything else. So I see this, again, as something that I think will open the door for a continued process of ending that war.
So last week we talked about a Russian submarine. There was a fire. The submarine is part of what the Russian TASS news agency describes as the chief directorate for deep water research.
Right.
The report says it's Russian military's top secret organization. It's known as
right.
GUGI. It's not particularly top secret since we're talking about it, but what can you tell us about GUGI?
Well, in any Navy, there's elements which are designed for special operations, things which are not typically done using special technology and capabilities. Clearly, this submarine, the one with the fire that killed the 14 officers, was one of those special mission-type boats. And there's a variety of things they do, and I suspect, based on what I've read about this boat, this was probably a submarine boat that was designed to do deep-sea espionage. And I think we spoke about it a few days ago regarding the tapping into fiber optic cables. And as I mentioned to the audience then, I don't think most people understand that there's essentially a system of arteries which go all around the planet that are deeply under the water. And literally, these things were laid back in the 90s. I remember back being briefed on this and how so much data moves through so rapidly. When you can tap into one of these things, it's an amazing amount of data that you have to analyze. But to do that and do it clandestinely, you have to do it at sea. So I suspect that this boat was involved in that and obviously suffered a near catastrophic failure that caused the near loss of the boat because of the fire.
Well, that's not the only Russian submarine fire that is in the news this week.
No.
Norway has found a huge radiation leak 800,000 times higher than normal levels. It's at the wreck of a Russian Navy submarine that went down in 1989 after a fire on board that killed 42 sailors. 800,000 times normal levels. Put that in perspective for us, if you can.
Yeah, it was a Komsoletz, as I recall.
That's right.
Is the name. Yeah, and it's significant by the fact that, you know, you're talking about an active plant that's full of material that would have been driven a submarine for a long time. And for those who remember the movie The Hunt for Red October, you know, we're talking about a ship like, you know, Captain Ramius would have been running around in the Red October itself. We're talking about a huge submarine. And so something this large has a large nuclear plant that's still sitting down there. So I think there's real concerns now about the amount of radiation coming out of that plant. I think a submarine of that size maybe even had two plants. So it's really something that people, I think, need to be concerned about, but I don't think it's going to lead to any massive release of radiation. It's going to be Chernobyl-like. Remember, the Russians have had issues with their containment of nuclear material and capabilities. So, unfortunately, during this era, again, this is the same era of Chernobyl, the Russians were taking all sorts of shortcuts with safety. And I want to reassure our audience that the U.S. has always taken nuclear safety, I think, very seriously, so that I don't think there would be this sort of catastrophic failure in our fleet. But this is something that they're going to be looking at because it obviously indicates that you know, the actual core of the nuclear pile may be open to the sea, and that could be problematic.
All right, I want to turn to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
As a brand new artist, her greatest hits album is now a double CD, and I think the lead track may be her comments this week that she was positive on the idea of abolishing, not ICE, but abolishing DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. Now, if she were to have her way, what assets exactly would we be putting out of business?
Well, some of the, I mean, this is going to sound crazy because, you know, a lot of things she says crazy is crazy. But, you know, in this case, there's some merit to it. I mean, one of the criticisms of a lot of folks is DHS artificially put organizations together, such as the U.S. Coast Guard, which is traditionally part of the Department of Transportation, and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Relief Agency, got stuck under there and actually diminished their capability. So if you did it with an eye of putting things back to where they were pre-9/11, U.S. Customs Service, all these other things, I don't see it as a bad thing. But what she wants to do is destroy the resources with it. And I consider it completely insane. She and the unhinged left right now, Rick, are completely focused on trying to undermine this country's capability to defend itself at the border and internally. I was just watching, and I got to say this because it's just true, I just was watching Joy Reid on NBC completely mischaracterize the reason for the raid. She actually claimed that the administration announced the raids that are supposed to happen tomorrow. That's not true. And it's amazing how the left will purposely misinterpret or do things to undermine capabilities for purposes of political gain. And in this case, the gain is to have what I believe they want as a permanent underclass of constituents. They have no interest in rule of law. So what Ocasio-Cortez is saying is that she wants to essentially remove any U.S. internal capability to enforce U.S. laws. That's what she's trying to do. And I can tell you for a fact that, you know, I just don't think it's in the cards. But while there may be merit to getting rid of DHS, getting rid of it for purposes of realigning it to pre-9/11 capability, that's acceptable. What she wants to do is essentially make it all go away, which obviously is problematic and won't happen.
Well, it's going to be very interesting how this plays out between now and 2020, and I will leave you with this happy note. I'm sure you saw this earlier in the week. One of her key staff members is Sekat Chakrabarty, and this was a Twitter post. He's since taken it down, but this is what he said. Instead of fiscally conservative but socially liberal, let's call the New Democrats and Blue Dog Caucus the New Southern Democrats. Now, these are the Blue Dog Caucus, okay?
Yeah.
They certainly seem to be hell-bent to do to black and brown people today what the old Southerners did in the 40s. And they talk about Trump stoking racial divisiveness in this country.
Yeah.
And they're attacking their own party.
Right. Well, look, those very words, I think the Democrats tend to forget their own history. I mean, yeah, Southern Democrats during the era we're discussing were the ones running the KKK. These people were completely against civil rights. It took the Republicans to push through civil rights in the 60s around Democrats. And, Rick, again, to remind the audience, not a single Democrat voted for the 13th or 14th Amendment. Think about that. So when you have these bomb throwers, these extreme progressives doing this sort of thing, I think they open up the history of their own party. And I'm not sure if they understand the history of their own party to do this sort of thing, which is fine. But this is all them. The things they're bringing up were things that they did as Southern Democrats. And I think it's something that they are – it's a very dangerous thing. Now, let me say one thing in closing on this. It's very interesting that you mentioned how they want, again, to put things in place for purposes of controlling population, not benefiting them. It's all about control. And as a political scientist, I've studied this, and what they're trying to do right now is essentially try to set up in the minds of a constituency that they're the only ones willing to do this. And the new Green Deal was recently admitted that the Green Deal is really about changing the economic fabric of the country, not saving the environment. So these things are all related, and I hope people will continue to study and listen very carefully to the words they use, because those words have important meaning.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
7:48 Saturday Morning Update. We'll talk to KT McFarland next. Michelle Murray's in the WML Traffic Center right now.
In Virginia, some slowing traffic on 95 southbound through Woodbridge and again headed towards Aquia and Courthouse Road. Traveling on the Beltway all the way around, looks like the pace is good. Northbound 295, some slowing traffic now between Chesapeake Street and Malcolm X. And keep in mind, their speed limit is reduced to 40 miles an hour through that long-term work zone between the Naval Research Lab and the 11th Street Bridge. Seeing some delays on the inbound 11th Street Bridge. So far, no delays traveling on 395 headed towards the 14th Street Bridge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it looks sunny pretty much today, tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. We'll be up in the low 90s straight through Tuesday, and then Wednesday looks like some afternoon thunderstorms. Right now in Washington, it's 70. We're headed to 92 today, and it's 7:49 on the Saturday morning update.
Have you been thinking of buying a home? Are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions? The main question is, how do I even get started in this whole process? The way you begin is to tune in to the Underwriter's Corner on Sunday, 11 a.m. to the noon hour. Put any question you have directly to the underwriter at First Preference Mortgage. All the loan officers will also be available to talk to you one-on-one. This is one time you don't get voicemail. Getting pre-approved is free. There's no cost to you. Know what you're qualified for, how much money you will need out of your pocket, and what your monthly mortgage payment would be before you go out looking at houses. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. here at WMAL 105.9 FM, WMAL. I look forward to talking with you on Sunday, 11 a.m. for the Underwriter's Corner.
Don't miss the Underwriter's Corner with host Bill Parisi, Sundays at 11, right here on WMAL.
The Internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. And now you can take advantage of new lower prices on some of the most popular internet plans. Plus, with Xfinity, you can get enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity. Delivering the fastest, most reliable internet at a great value. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Check out new low pricing on Xfinity Internet and get started for as low as $29.99 a month for 12 months. Plus, add xFi Advantage for enhanced network security and more. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. N72119. Restrictions apply. New performance 60 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with a licensed local expert with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She was at the Department of Defense as a speechwriter and Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs and, of course, the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. KT, wonderful to have you with us.
It's a pleasure.
Well, you're a foreign policy expert. Joe Biden thinks he's a foreign policy expert. He's been talking a lot about it this week. Here's what he had to say.
We will overcome 4 years of Donald Trump. It will go down as an aberration in American history. It'll take a whole lot of work to put together a foreign policy once again that makes sense. It will take a whole lot of work to reestablish who we are as a country.
So Trump comes in, cleans up the mess, and Joe Biden's going to undo all the good work that the Trump administration is doing. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a dopey speech. I mean, it was mostly just bashing Trump, calling him bad names. But it was the other thing that I really found kind of upsetting was that it was a wistful hope of returning to the foreign policy of Biden's era when he was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and even vice president. That's an era that we don't have anymore. That's when America was calling the shots around the world because we were decidedly the most economically, technologically, and militarily powerful country in the world. And we were so rich during that period that we could afford to subsidize both our allies and our competitors with trade agreements which favored them at our expense, and security alliances where we protected them using our own resources. But the world has changed since Biden's era. Now, the Chinese economy now threatens to overtake ours. The Chinese have said, and they are determined to replace us as the world's leader in technology. They want to take our place as the most powerful country in the world. And the Russians have rebuilt their military. And the U.S. is still paying to subsidize the economies and the security alliances of these countries. And in order to do it, we have to now borrow $1 trillion a year to pay for it. And most of that money that we're borrowing is coming from the very nations that we're subsidizing. You know, look, everybody loved the era when America was the undisputed king of the world. And we would love to return to that era, but we're not. And Trump understands that America has changed, his position in the world has changed, his position in the world threatens to change even more if we adopt the Biden policies of the past. And Trump at least is willing to do something about it, to change it. I mean, even if he makes himself offensive to people like Biden and allow Biden to call him names. As far as I'm concerned, the upsetting part of all of this is Biden, who's the leading Democrat candidate for president. He's a guy who just wants to live in the past.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bob Gates, the Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration, and I'm sure you know Bob Gates well.
We shared a suite together in the 1970s on the National Security Council.
Wow. Well, then you know what a straight shooter Bob Gates is. And he wrote in his memoir, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. He wrote that in his memoir a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And then he repeated it when he was asked about it on Face the Nation by Margaret Brennan. He basically doubled down and said he still feels the same way.
Well, isn't it marvelous, the consistency of Vice President Biden, that he's still wrong on every major foreign policy issue?
Well, I want to turn to President Trump because there's a lot of criticism of President Trump. And, you know, people will say that he makes a lot of decisions and does bombastic things simply to pacify his base. And I get a sense that he really believes that what he's doing is really for the good of the country and is not as politically motivated as so many people would have you say. And, you know, he'll take a stand that has political downsides, the ICE enforcement raids. That's a tough issue, and he's going to take some heat for that. His whole stance on the border, he's been strong, he's been firm, he's been stubborn. You've worked with him. How much is he driven by politics versus his principles?
The key to understanding Trump is there are a few things that matter to him. He understands the power of a strong economy and applying economic leverage abroad rather than going to war. He realizes that an insecure border is a security risk and an economic risk and a societal disaster for the country. And he's stubborn as a mule in sticking to them. And one of the sort of the key that I found to Trump's personality is he wants to win. It's that old Vince Lombardi quote from the 1960s. It's not the only thing that counts is winning, not how you play the game, it's how you win. And so for Trump, everything is a means to an end. He's got his goals in mind. He's sticking to them like a mule. And he's going to try a lot of different ways to get to those goals. He doesn't know quite at the beginning how he's going to get there. To the average observer in Washington, it sounds like he's changing his mind all the time. No, he's not. He's just trying to get to the end goal, what he thinks is the end goal and what he perceives as winning. So everything in support of reaching that goal, that's all fair game. So, for example, he's got an end goal in mind for North Korea, and one week he'll say, Kim and I are sending each other love letters. And then the next week he'll say, Lil' Kim, the little rocket man, my rockets are bigger than your rockets. And for Trump, those things are not inconsistent because they're all headed for the same goal, which is he wants to win. The other thing about Trump to understand is don't listen to what he says. He says different things, like I've just explained about North Korea, but he look at what he does. And he'll say one thing about Russia, but we've had the toughest sanctions on Russia of any country ever in the history. And when he talks about what he wants to do with the Europeans. So he loves them, he hates them, he loves them and hates them. But his goal there is to increase their contribution to our common defense. His goal in Asia, his goal with China, is to have a more equitable trade relationship. So watch what he does, not what he says. What he says is fleeting as the sun goes down when the sun goes down in the end of the day. For Trump, it's just where that sun is headed the next day that counts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you explain that, it's almost like a football analogy where you go in, you've got a strong ground game. All the pundits and the sports reporters say, hey, it's the ground game. So you go in, you can't get anywhere with the ground game. What do? You go to a passing game. So it's a similar kind of a thing. You have to call audibles and change the strategy. KT McFarland, wonderful to have you with us as always, and thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you very much for being with us. We've got the news next at 8 with Heather Curtis, and then it's Garden Sense on WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.